When I first met Sharon a long time ago now, her grandmother had just died, and I never got to meet her, this woman that Sharon loved very much. But I did get to meet her grandfather, Grandpa Ron, who was a lovely man. And something that was said at Grandpa Ron's funeral has always stuck in my mind. Sharon's uncle, who's a very good speaker, he got up to say, because he and his dad had both loved cricket, and he said, "Sometimes we say in cricket that you're only as good as your last innings." And he said, "But I don't want you to think about Dad's last innings, all right? Because some of you know him a different way. He's an old man, retired man, all right? But let me tell you about him." And he did. And I was thinking about this, which innings do we judge people on? Their last innings, their first innings, their peak periods in the middle. How would we judge Peter? What would we say about Peter? How would we judge him? We just heard all of his works in Luke's Gospel. And I have to tell you, it's not all that impressive. I don't know what you thought, but I thought, well, here's the guy who was the main man, the disciple, the rock that Jesus is going to build his church on, and it's not sounding good. I mean, honestly, what would you think if this was the innings you were judging him on? Would you say that, well, he's a bit of a goose? All right. But actually, when I read Peter's words, I actually find them encouraging. They're encouraging for me, because I would describe Peter as the passionate, imperfect disciple. All right? The passionate, imperfect disciple. And if you get that on a t-shirt, I'm a passionate, imperfect disciple. Last week, Sharon was talking about foot washing, that story from John's Gospel. And I was thinking about that. Like, I try with these Bible stories to picture the reality of it, particularly with stories that I've heard so many times before. I mean, what did someone's feet look like when they walked everywhere? Right? And all they wore was leather sandals. Now, I imagine when they went fishing in the boats, that they didn't have Crocs back in that day. You know that, right? So I imagine when they went fishing in the boats, they took their sandals off, because leather goes soft and stretches and then it shrinks and it's hard, right? So they were barefoot. So there's probably calluses and there's dirt and dust and there's dirty toenails as Jesus is washing their feet. And I try and think about Peter as he's walking with Jesus. As he's walking with Jesus. And just by the way, I need to tell you this time, because you know before we had a series and I forgot to tell you that I was doing a series? We're starting a new series. It's called Walking with... I was going to say this at the start. It's called Walking with Jesus. There you go. All right. Walking with Jesus. And I think about Peter and the things he got wrong. I don't know if you noticed, there was one in the middle where Jesus is telling this parable. And Peter says, "Jesus, are you talking to us or are you talking to them?" Like, it's just, sometimes he just didn't get it, right? But the encouragement for me is that it reminds us that we don't have to be perfect to walk with Jesus. We don't have to be perfect to walk with Jesus. We can think that sometimes. I've talked to Christians or people who are thinking about Christianity or exploring Christianity, and some of them say, "I've got to get this bit right. I've got to fix this before I can become a Christian." But that's not the way it works. We don't have to say, "I have to give up this behaviour before I can commit." The way that Peter was called, Jesus walked up to Peter when he was in his ordinary life, fishing, doing his normal job. And basically, Jesus said to him, "Walk with me, you and I are going to be working together from now on." And that was it. "Walk with me, you and I are going to be working together from now on." And they walked, and they walked. And I wonder, what did they look like, this ragtag bunch of men and women that Jesus called? I mean, I wonder what the collective noun is for a gang of disciples. Do you say gang? Is it an entourage? I mean, that's what it was like for Jesus. When he walked everywhere, there were people with him. The Bible tells us crowds followed him. But he always had this group of people who were with him as well. And I always picture, this is how it plays out in my mind, I always picture Judas out in front. Right? Judas, who thought he knew best. Judas thought he knew best, right? So he was out in front. And then Peter was by Jesus' side. And on the other side of Jesus was probably Mary Magdalene, because Luke also tells us that all these women travelled with Jesus. And I think right behind Jesus is James and John, the two brothers. And they're just trying to keep up, trying to make sure that they can hear the conversation. And then down the back is Thomas, right? And he's really thinking it through, right? He's a quiet, reflective type. He's really puzzling. What does this all mean? Can I believe this? And not all of them looked the same or were the same. And Jesus didn't ask them to pass a test before they began their journey with him. He just said, follow me. He just said, follow me. You're going to be working with me from now on. They didn't have to meet a standard to begin the journey. But the other thing that we see from Peter's words is that we don't have to be perfect as we walk with Jesus. We don't have to be perfect as we walk with Jesus. I mean, we saw him, basically he was babbling at the Transfiguration. Now, we can excuse him, right? If you were on a mountaintop with a guy who was your teacher and then suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared, I imagine that not many of us would have a really helpful response in that moment, right? So he just starts talking. He's a complete extrovert. He starts talking without quite sure where he's going to end up. I don't know, it's the image of Steve Cage just popped in my mind then. he just starts talking without knowing exactly where he's going to end up. And they even have it in the scripture. He didn't know what he was saying. You know, he didn't know what to say. And yet, Peter was the person who first declared that Jesus was the Messiah. Sometimes he got it wonderfully right. He was fully committed to Jesus, but he ended up denying Jesus. We finished with those words that Peter wept bitterly because he knew he had got it wrong. There's actually an important idea here about following Jesus. Peter wept because he still loved Jesus. Did what Peter had done, his denial of Jesus, did that mean he was no longer a follower of Jesus? Was he out of the kingdom at that point because of this awful mistake? Was he? Was he gone? No. He still loved Jesus. Jesus still loved him. The relationship was not broken. He was still a Jesus follower. There's something powerful in that our failures are never the end of the story, the end of our journey. We learn from our failures. You know, we say, I will not do that again. Like it doesn't always work, right? So we built a cubby house for my granddaughter, Tilly. And just has a little skillion roof. And the bottom side of the roof is about 1.65 centimetres off the floor. And I'm 1.78 metres tall. So one of the first times I walked into the cubby house with Tilly, I hit my head on the rafter and I said, I'm not going to do that again. Which I also said the second time that I hit my head on the rafter. We learn, hopefully, we learn from our mistakes. I mean, we know that sometimes we get things wrong in our lives. We make mistakes as a parent. We make mistakes in our relationships with our friends. We need to learn from our failures. They don't ruin our relationship with Jesus. This was Peter's worst mistake, I imagine. This was Peter's worst mistake. I imagine that Peter was ashamed for the rest of his life. And whenever people talked about that night before Jesus was crucified, that they had to walk on eggshells about Peter. Don't bring it up. It still upsets him. Right? But he still loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. Faith is not something we hold, right? It's not a static possession. Something I have that if I do something wrong, God will take away. Christian faith is this invitation to a journey. It's this invitation to walk with Jesus every day. And sometimes we will be Peter, and sometimes we will be Mary. Sometimes we'll be there right in step. Sometimes in our walk with Jesus, we'll be Thomas, who's down the back puzzling it all out. Sometimes, if we're honest, we'll be Judas, getting ahead of Jesus, telling God what needs to happen. But what is always the same is that we are walking with Jesus. It is his love that binds us to him, his grace that keeps us, his power that sustains us. Jesus is our Saviour. We don't save ourselves. In that story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, those dirty feet with the dirty toenails and the calluses, Peter, as you can imagine, just blurts something out. Do you know the story? When Jesus is washing the feet of the other disciples, Peter says, "Not me, I'm not worthy." And I imagine there's a hint of exasperation in Jesus' voice when he says, Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And then Peter says, "Well, wash all of me then. And Jesus, perhaps a little bit more impatient, "Peter, what I'm doing is enough." And he goes on to say, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so." Jesus is never just the humble servant. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our teacher. Jesus is our Saviour. It is him that keeps us walking with him. It is his love working in us, transforming us. Too often we can assume that we're in control of our relationship with Jesus. And yes, we're active participants in this. We cooperate with God. But it all begins with Jesus when we humbly acknowledge him as Lord and open our hearts to his transforming presence. And when we do that, we learn something else, that walking with Jesus will change us. Walking with Jesus will change us. So on a journey with Jesus, like Peter, talking with him, sometimes behind, sometimes by his side, looking to Jesus, learning from him, we are changed by the journey. Now, one of the things that happens for us in our Christian lives when we walk with Jesus is we're also in a process of unlearning. To learn to be like Jesus requires us to unlearn. We have to leave behind ideas and patterns in our life. We have to unlearn ideas about what it means to be a father, a mother. Not all of us have had great families. We haven't all had great role models. There's patterns that have been set up in our childhood which are not healthy, and we know that. So we have to unlearn them. We have to leave behind ideas and patterns in our life. And it happens when we walk with Jesus. We have to unlearn beliefs about God, how he loves us, how he's at work in the world. We call that theology. Sometimes we have mistaken notions about who God is, whether it's the angry judge or the God I control through my prayers. We have to leave those behind. We have to unlearn them. We have to unlearn scripts in our head, maybe that we've carried since we were children, about our worth as people, about whether we're lovable, whether we can love. I remember going on a retreat that I was speaking at for 5 days, and at the end of it, in our final worship time, we're having this really fantastic prayer time. Just people were really open to the Spirit and praying. And it was obvious to me that one of the women, she was a pastor, like she was a minister, but there was this deep sense in her that she wasn't good enough. You could just see it in her, and the way she put herself down, the way she talked about it, the way she minimised what she did. She had this idea in herself that she was not good enough. And I went to her. This is one of the few times that I've felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to have a word with people. And I went to her and I said, "I just want to tell you that you are worthy. You are worthy." See, there's things we have to unlearn. There's things we have to unlearn. And we unlearn them as we walk with Jesus every day. What did Peter unlearn? What did he have to let go of? Himself, perhaps? His fear? His desire to have the first word or the last word? Fortunately for us, the Gospels is not his final words. Luke also went on to write the book of Acts. We had more of Peter's story there. And sure, Peter preached at Pentecost, you know that. And the very last words he speaks in the book of Acts are at a church council where they're talking about who's going to be included in the Christian community. But for me, when I think of Peter's story, I think the words that meant the most to him were these. You see, Peter and John had been arrested for preaching the gospel. And they were taken in front of the Sanhedrin, the very same religious leaders that Jesus had been taken in front of. And this is what Peter said this time. He said, "Salvation is found only in Jesus, for there is no other name by which we must be saved." And I wonder if that declaration of Jesus as his Lord, I wonder if that meant a lot to him in that moment. And he remembered his denial of who Jesus was. You see, to walk with Jesus is to be changed forever. It will change our direction. It will change how we walk. Like Peter, it will take us to places and experiences we can't imagine. It will challenge us and bring us the greatest joy. And sometimes, as Christians, walking with Jesus, we'll be afraid. But sometimes, we'll be extraordinary. Sometimes, we'll be inadequate. But sometimes, we'll be amazing. What won't change is that Jesus is walking with us. You and I are on a journey with Jesus, opening our lives more and more to him, allowing him to deal with the things that crippled us in the past. Those times we stumbled, the histories that we can't change, the facts of our lives that are just there. I said to you before, what's a collective noun for a group of disciples? There is one, by the way. It's a Greek word, ekklesia. We translate it as church. Ekklesia means the called out ones, called out to gather, called out and gather. Now, Peter was not alone. He never did it alone, right? Just by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Peter travelled around in his ministry with his wife. Paul tells us that in the book of Corinthians. Peter never did it alone, and nor do we. We're in the entourage, the gang, the ecclesia, the church. And you and I may not be perfect, but we're being changed more and more to be like Jesus, the Jesus who walks with us. To walk with Jesus is to be changed forever.